You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Welcome to Teachings in the Air. Podcast with Jerry Oldman, coming to you from Hunkaminam territory with a podcast series about Indigenous men's health and wellness. We aim to inspire, motivate, and empower Indigenous men to be sound in mind, body, and spirit, because that's what health means. Hello, this is Teachings in the Air with Jerry Oldman. I'm starting this wonderful season called Indigenous Is. And today's podcast is titled Returning to the Circle. And I remember hearing this elder tell us, you know, in the Indigenous world, everything is a circle. He says our eyes are around, our pupils are around, the holes in our nostrils are round. You know, he's talking about the planet Earth is round, the moon is round, you know, and we follow cycles, the seasons, and it's a circle. And that we belong to circles. Before colonization, we belonged to a clan, and that was our circle. So, which means our family is our circle. And our family way of life was a place and a time when everyone was taken care of. I remember hearing words from elders say, let's move and let's not leave anyone behind. Let's all go together. Wished we, you know, and they'd say, let's go. Let's move together. And that was our way of life, where the babies were taught. And they were taught through every stage of life, our people. There was teachings, how to be a child, how to be a youth, an adult, an elder. And a critical teaching to me is that we were taught about the importance of belonging to a circle, the importance of Mother Earth and everything that lived on Mother Earth, that we were taught that throughout our life. So I wanted to talk about that circle a bit. You know, how we raised our children to have respect, to make sure they have the knowledge of how to conduct themselves with other human beings, to make sure they have those teachings, so that we don't have to worry about them so much when they're going through life, that we, as a people, knew the importance of respecting all of our food, the animals, the fish, the birds, the plants, that we were taught that respect in our circle, so that every generation after us would have the same gifts. So we all followed these teachings. And some people can call them laws. For instance, a law of generosity to make sure that you, when you have salmon, when you have enough to give the rest away to the elders, to the ones that cannot be at the river. That's a life we come from, where we were taught respect, generosity. You know, and it's a good way of life. So, of course, because it's called Returning to the Circle, I'm going to talk about how many left the circle. And many left, and it was not their desire. It's because of what happened, you know, through what they call the colonization process, where, you know, there was all of a sudden there were people here from across the water that wanted what our people had, territory and the resources in that territory. So to do that, their method was to gain complete political and economic control over the Uchilmuch, the original people. And that happened right across Canada. We were put onto reservations. We lost resources, and when you lose resources, you become poor. There were laws put in place about the potlatch. That means our ceremonies were outlawed. We could not hire lawyers to talk about land claims and land title. And they put laws on fish and game on us that we never had before. And one of their key laws was in regards to alcohol. There's a complete prohibition against alcohol with Indigenous people in 1876 with the introduction of the Indian Act. So that law in itself affected our people in the Indian Act. They changed that law to where we could have alcohol, but only in the, what they call the pubs or the beer parlors. And to show that impact it had on our people, like in 1943, for instance, in BC Corrections, in a place called Ocala, 231 Indigenous people were there incarcerated. They were serving time for different crimes, and they're from all over BC. But when they changed the law to where we could start drinking in the pubs, by 1953, there was 1,458 BC Indigenous people incarcerated in Ocala. So that's a big spike in a 10-year span. And very few people ask why. Why? They're more apt to say, oh, they're drunks. Those Indians are drunks. You know that loss of our laws and how to live. And they say in Clackman, our way of life. So all of a sudden we have people breaking our own laws and living according to Canada's laws. And it didn't fit with our people. You know, like it's like they say, trying to fit a square peg into a round hole or a round object into a square hole opening. It never fit. So as a result of the residential school and all of the things that happened with colonization, our people started to become lost in my language, Pilp. It's like they were lost in their own land. And they started to make mistakes. Drinking became a problem. TB. Diabetes. Social problems. Children were being taken in large numbers. And part of this was the creation of shame about our identity. That we were stupid and lazy and crazy. So all that was happening over years. It started and it had an impact, what they call an intergenerational impact on the people. So the people, if they went to the prison, they're leaving the circle. If they went to the city, they're leaving the circle. And when you leave the circle, there's a potential of being lost. Lose your way in life. Lose your purpose. Lose your identity a day at a time. So that's what happened. The beauty is our culture never died. Every effort was made to destroy our ceremonies, to destroy our belief in Mother Earth, our connection to Mother Earth. Every effort was made, but they failed. Because I'm here today. And with me today, I have a special gift. And his name is Chakram Shla, a.k.a. Samuel Alec. And I'm so glad that we ran into each other in the world again. Because his grandfather laid the teachings at my feet. That all of our knowledge comes through the air. And it's never lost. So I'd just like my guest to introduce himself to the people. Tell us a bit about your family and where you're from. To start, Chakram Shla.
Kukstam. Ketwa'o. Chakram Shla. Mkwaticha. Statliam. Hello, my name is Samuel Alec. I am from Pavilion First Nation in Statliam Territory. My mother is Ginger Alec. My grandparents are Richie and Claire Edwards. My father is Pat Alec. My grandparents are Sam and Susan Mitchell.
Teachings in the Air is about inspiration for healing, inspiration for for people to go out and find their purpose in life, to reach their potential. So I'd just like you to, to give context to your healing road. Tell me a little bit about your life when you were lost.
When I was abusing substances, I did not stop and think of any consequences. My ego and my pride got in my way. I was not thinking straight. And during my substance abuse of drugs and alcohol, even though I was lost, my spirit was still looking after me through my worst times. My drug and alcohol, negative thinking, negative beliefs, negative behaviors has landed me in prison, in federal prison. I was charged with impaired driving, causing death times three. And unfortunately, took the three lives for me to stop doing what I was doing and continue getting what I'm getting. Drugs and alcohol ran my life for me not thinking straight. I followed that negative behavior and consequences was that I took three lives. And going to prison, my children, my mom, families, brothers and sisters were also in prison while I was in prison because of me being away from them and not being there. Being in prison, consequences are, you know, people, there's death as part of life. And there were many people that passed away in my prison time. So the consequences of me not thinking straight, I wasn't able to be at some funerals because of being in federal prison. I lied, I cheated, I stole in order to look for that next substance. I was taught by some very powerful speakers, inspirational, respected elders. And I disrespected my elders by choosing substances. I was so lost, I didn't look at our spirituality, our culture, our ways of life of our ancestors. Talk about the intergenerational impacts of our ancestors and our elders who were defeated. I think about that and I put our teachings aside and I resisted. I resisted all of these teachings and made some very poor decisions in my substance abuse lifestyle. Coming back to the circle, teachings in the air, the elders provided me with tireless knowledge and wisdom to look at my deeper troubles. It was hiding all those complex traumas. And not being able to reach out for help. I was ashamed. I was afraid. It took many years for me to say, Shinookwa, can you please help me? And mean it. I was brought up in an environment where the intergenerational impacts of the residential school has showed in my family. The anger, the violence, the alcohol, the lack of parenting. My father, Pat Alec, has passed away when I was 2 years of age from cirrhosis of the liver. So right from there, it was a struggle. Father not being able to reach out as well from all the traumas that he endured. That's an intergenerational impact. The lack of parenting, I lacked as well. You know, I look back at my family tree of substances, and it goes back a long ways. My grandparents, my parents, down to me, my children. I had to stop, take a look in that mirror, make a commitment to myself. Being in prison, federal prison for the first time, took a look at myself and I says, I have to break this cycle. Change begins with me. So I had to truly be honest with myself that there's got to be some other way for me to live a healthier lifestyle. So when I looked at myself and made that commitment, I worked hard. I had to cope, learn how to cope on many different levels. I had to learn to relearn, and I continue to learn to relearn. Relearning those negative behaviors of running to the bottle to solve all my problems. I turned to culture, spirituality. My elders worked with me. The Creator has a path for me. And I was taught to utilize the teachings of our people to attend the spirit path, break in daylight, asking the water people to help take away the pain, suffering, asking to take away what does not belong to me, put it somewhere in a safe place where it will not hurt me or anyone else. I turn to the Nkalza. People call it Nkalza, which is the sweat lodge. We go in there to take a look at ourselves. And we ask the grandparents to give us a hand, to send our prayers to Quilston. Quilston is something of greater. I also had to take a look at myself. What can I do better? How can I conduct myself in a proper manner? How can I call my spirit back? I also went to the mountains, Mother Earth, and done fasting, 4-day fasting, where I'm diabetic. It's very dangerous for a diabetic. With the power of the smudge and prayers and songs, help me get through. My elder told me on the third day, he says, there's nobody will look at you any different if you come down. He knew I was struggling. And I told him, I says, the Hollowitz, if I come down, to me, I'm quitting that ceremony. He says, if I start quitting ceremony here, when I get out of prison, I'll quit ceremony. I'm going to stay, struggle. I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to call upon my grandparents, four sacred directions, to come and help me through. He respected my decision. I smudged and prayed very hard on my other elder Hollock. Sent me some medicine. Chalkumsklap, this will help you. You knew. So I stayed. I used the medicines, prayed, drummed and sang. I wanted to leave so bad, but I knew if I gave up, I would give up out there. I started drumming and singing. And a song came to me when I was up there in a fast. Fourth day, I woke up and I started singing this song. Chalkumsklap is my Uchumyuk name. My spirit is looking after me.
You know that I'm so happy that you found your way back to the circle. You know, I wanted to dedicate this podcast to all the brothers and sisters that are now currently incarcerated in Canada in federal and provincial prisons. I'd like to dedicate this to them so that they can see that there's a way back to the circle. That there's, it's not too late. It's never too late for anyone, you know, to return to the circle once they leave it. I remember one of our elders, he was leaving one of our meetings. Like we'd gather and have, this meeting was on May the 10th. You know, and we're honoring our elders. I said, this is ours. This is what we occupy. You know, this territory. And he had to leave early. So he announced to the people, I have to go. And he was walking backwards to the door. And he says, this is to show you I'm not turning my back on you, that I'm still with you.